Amen. You may please take your seat. What a great day it has been. I come to you this morning saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful time of worship. Amen. Amen. I was listening to that and I say, man, I better be on my game today. And I love that. I love that part of that song where it says that the Lord will wipe away every tear. I know that that passage from Revelation is Miss Shirley's favorite passage in Scripture. And, you know, when we sing songs that have people's favorite passages, I can look around the sanctuary and I know the person that that passage has a special meaning to them. Today is a special day for me. Miss Ruth Ann is back in town. Yeah. Hallelujah. Here's what I don't understand. My wife, who is retired, went on vacation. I don't get it, but amen. Hallelujah. And I was just praying hard because they were having severe weather yesterday and her flight was delayed and delayed and delayed. And she was presented with an option of either staying overnight in New Orleans and then flying back this morning and us trying to work out that travel scenario, or flying to Tampa, spending the night, and then flying in this morning a little earlier and still with the travel thing. And so I get a call from her saying there's a really nice young man here named Matthew who's going to get a car and drive from Tampa. What do you think? I said, unless he's the Matthew that wrote the Gospel of Matthew, the answer is no. But if they have someone else traveling with you, another couple or something, of course. And so that's what happened. They teamed up, and Miss Ruth Ann had a chance to spend about 4 hours, I guess, in a car driving from Tampa. And I picked her up late last night, and about 11:30, we joined up and met. And of course, she wanted to eat, and it was 11:30 at night, so we found a place to eat. But what a great day it is for me to have my sweetheart back in town. And you know, when she's not here, I tend to go a little long on my messages. So she keeps me reined in. If you have the Word of God in front of you, whether in digital or printed format, all over the sanctuary, please lift your Bibles over your heads. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5. We will pick it up in verse 10. Joshua chapter 5, we'll pick it up in verse 10. We'll be reading through verse 12. If you're there, please say, amen. Reading from the Word of God. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. Excuse me for that. Today's message is titled Consecrated. Consecrated. Webster's defines consecrated as that which has been dedicated to a sacred purpose. Biblically, we would call that sanctified. That set apart for the work of the Lord. Amen? And for instance, we learned about the wilderness tabernacle last year. And in that tabernacle were implements and items consecrated to the Lord. In my time of devotion each and every day, I have a particular Bible I read for my time of reading the Word of God each day. It's a Bible that doesn't have any footnotes or commentary or anything. It's simply the Word of God. And I have a journal, a prayer journal that I jot down in. And those things I have consecrated to the Lord. I have set them aside for that special time with the Lord. You know, we've also seen consecrated in our current Joshua study. In its other form, if you look at verse chapter 3, verse 5, if you take a quick look at that, it reads in chapter 3, verse 5, and Joshua said to people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And we learn how if we want to expect God to do wonders, we need to set ourselves apart to the Lord. Amen? Today we will see how God's people will continue their personal consecration to the Lord. Last week we had the message on the circumcision of the nation of Israel. that they had been in the desert all those years and had not kept the ritual of the circumcision of God's people. Now, there's a common quote I'm sure that you've all heard, and that when you read something, that we read between the lines. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, we read between the lines. Have you ever done that with Scripture? Now, Pastor Larry says, listen, don't read anything into it, to Scripture. Read what is there. But there are some things that we can surmise, or some things that we may wonder about as we're looking at a particular passage in the Bible. I certainly have thought that many times. You know, the Word of God is just filled with amazing things. And we should understand that Scripture, when we read Scripture, when we read God's Word, it should be that way in our lives. It should bless our hearts. It should fill us. It is, after all, the divinely inspired, perfectly inerrant revelation of God Himself to man. In other words, Scripture is God's love letter to you. From the front to the back, it's God's love letter to each and every one of us. Therefore, we know that Scriptures are a perfect treasure of biblical instruction, divine instruction. It has God as its author, salvation as its end, and truth for its content. Absolute truth. We need to know the truth, amen? In other words, if I go to the doctor, I want to know the truth. I don't want him to say, well, you'll be okay when I've got something really wrong with me. We want to know the truth. That's why our core passage of our church is so important. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you accept that Jesus Christ is the truth, then the words that He said should bear fruit in our hearts. That He is the only way for man to get to heaven. Therefore, all Scripture is totally true and perfectly trustworthy. You can trust God's Word. Amen? You can trust God's Word. But what about the Bible's divine message? What is the central idea of God's love letter? It is the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who went to the cross of Calvary. Now, I don't know about you, but I get incredibly excited when I read God's Word. I am all over it. It speaks to my heart. With that said, have you ever read your Bible and thought, I wonder? I wonder if Eve ever ate any more fruit. I wonder if Noah slept okay during thunderstorms after the flood. I wonder if Jonah ever went fishing again. I wonder if David took out Goliath's shield as a reminder of God's protection when he went through difficult things. I wonder. I wonder if Jesus, who is, after all, God, who, after all, is the eternal God, thought about me when he walked the earth and he prayed. Scripture certainly indicates that he did. Today's passage is another one of those times. I look, I think, and I say to myself, there is a lot going on here. But I wonder. I wonder. I have 4 points today for us as the Hebrews again consecrate themselves to the Lord with some new things that they have done. They've already gone through the circumcision. And what we want to know is, how have they been doing in their sanctification? How have they been doing in setting themselves apart to the work of the Lord? And see, that's a question for each one of us today. Amen? How have we been doing? How have we set ourselves apart for the work of the Lord? In other words, is church something we do on Sunday? Is our time with the Lord something that we check in on Sunday about? Or do we check in on the Lord every day? Do we have that part of our lives that is set apart to the Lord? I'll give you an example. Yesterday I went playing golf. Miss Ruth Ann was out of town. And as I went and played golf yesterday morning, did somebody turn off all the fans, by the way? You did it. You guys were cold?
Yes.
All right, because somebody check this front air conditioner to make sure it's on, because it's hot up here on the stage, if you guys don't mind. Where was I at? Somebody help me out here. Oh, went golfing yesterday. There you are. See? If I'd have said, which passage was I in? I'm not sure I'd have got that response. I went golfing yesterday. And so I was golfing with my best friend, and they paired us, because we were only a twosome. They paired us with another a man and his daughter. And my friend, Pete, he always tells people, first thing, it's up all the way up here in the front, Brother Divine. All the way up in the front around the corner here. My friend Pete always tells people, listen, Larry is a pastor. And he says he does that because it prevents awkward moments later on, depending upon language used on a golf course. And so, they said, well, that's interesting, and you know, the normal niceties. And so after we had played 4, 5, 6 holes, this gentleman asked me, he goes, listen, as a pastor, I know you give your little motivational speech on Sunday mornings. I just, Lord help me. And you may give a little talk on Wednesdays, but what is your job? What is the job that you have? And rather get into the theological things of telling him, well, my job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, which would have meant nothing to him. I said, well, that's pretty simple. I said, let me ask you this. If you were to die right now, do you know that you would go to heaven? And he was kind of taken aback. He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, listen to me. If you have never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, the answer to that is no. You will not go. I said, but I'm not here to beat you over the head with the Bible. I'm here to tell you all about the love and grace of the Lord found through Jesus Christ, his Son. See, that's our job, amen? When it comes right down to it, that is our job. Now, I appreciated Brother Divine getting the air conditioner turned on. It feels so much better up here right now. God bless you, brother. But and we have people do all kinds of things through our sanctuary. Was the praise team and band just wonderful this morning or what? Amen. That was just awesome. That was absolutely awesome. But our job is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our job. And so what we're doing now, how has the Jewish nation been doing about their sanctification? And I wonder, first off, I wonder about the neglect. If you look at your screen, you'll notice our first point today. We've already read through, please tell me I put the right message up there. Go to the next point. Do we have a point up there? There we go. Boy, that was a close one. Sorry about that, guys. We see about the neglect that they've had. And if I got the slides mixed up, this is totally my fault, because I sent our PowerPoint lady. She's sitting right over there. I sent her the wrong stuff. But stick with me. We're going to get through this. Amen? Okay. We look at the neglect. Look at the first part of verse 10. If you're there, please say amen. And the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month. In church language, the ordinance of the Passover was established in Egypt with the passing over of the death angel the night the Israelites escaped from bondage. God had given specific instructions. They obeyed the Lord, and therefore the firstborn of Israel were saved. You see, God had commanded, they put the blood over the door. And we know that that's a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ stretched out on the cross. His blood shed upon the cross of Calvary is what pays for our sin if we receive him as the Lord. Amen? And God then commanded in Exodus chapter 13, verse 10, that you are to keep this Passover feast. You are to keep this in its season from year to year on this day. And unfortunately, Israel did not do that during the wilderness travels. In fact, their neglect of God's command to observe the Passover was enormous. They did observe the Passover on the first anniversary of their release from bondage. That took place in the book of Sinai. Write this in your margin. Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. That's when they celebrated the first Passover. However, after that, there is no record of Israel observing the Passover during the rest of their 39 years of traveling in the wilderness. No record whatsoever. Not one single time. Can you imagine that? The Lord has brought them out of bondage. He's done great and mighty things. He's protected them. The Shekinah glory of the Lord comes and has taken up place in the wilderness temple. And yet they do not keep the Passover for that 39 years. Why? Because they become worldly. They become concerned about their situation in the desert. Depending upon God for water in the midst of the desert. Depending upon God every day for their manna from heaven in the midst of the desert. They have gotten away from God. They've become worldly. They have forgotten what God had done for them through the Passover lamb. They've forgotten about that. And sometimes we do the same things. Christians are guilty of that very same thing. We get locked into just coming to church because it's Sunday. We get locked into showing up on Wednesday because I think I'll do the pastor a favor or someone a favor and show up on some other time. That's not it, Lord, guys. And I'm certainly not equating any of that with being spiritual or being there. I get it. We have jobs. We have things to do. But the Lord should be the first thing in your hearts. Amen? Amen. The Lord should be the first thing in our heart. Amen? Amen. I got you all to say it now. Good. That's great. And listen, by the way, modern churches do the same thing that the Israelites did when they get into a routine. When they get set in their ways. What do we do here at Living Hope Baptist Church every first Sunday? Lord's Supper. We do the Lord's Supper every first Sunday. You know, I know churches that do it quarterly or once a year, if at all. Baptist churches that do that. In other words, the Lord's Supper, they have three or four services, and therefore because of time constraints, the Lord's Supper doesn't fit within their time constraint. So rather than take out some singing, rather than take out a bunch of announcements, they take out the Lord's Supper. They have gotten away from the central idea. Guys, we do the Lord's Supper on every single first Sunday for a very powerful reason. In remembrance of Him. In remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done upon the cross of Calvary. That is why we observe the Lord's Supper. And now, passing into the Promised Land, the Israelites have seen some amazing things. You know, if you remember, as we've gone through the study of Joshua in chapter 1, you know, what does the Lord tell Joshua? He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to my servant Moses. And so they're told to consecrate themselves, to set themselves aside, to make bread, to get themselves strengthened because they're going to be crossing the Jordan River. Amen? The swollen Jordan River. And as they cross the Jordan River, they say, bring out the priests. And the priests come out and stand in the midst of the Jordan River as the Ark of the Covenant is carried through. And then that's an amazing thing right there. And that water, that flood water, was stopped all the way back to the place called Adam, by the Sea of Galilee, which Galilee meaning the holy place, the set apart place. And so they've seen that. And then they set up the memorial stones, and they've begun consecrating. They've seen great and mighty things as they've been traveling. And now verse 10 reads that once they arrive in Canaan, they kept the Passover. The time of neglect is over. Now, I know that's never happened to anyone here. But have you ever had a part of your life where you were saved, you drifted for a while, neglected the things of the Lord, and then you came back? Do you remember that feeling in your heart when you sat in the sanctuary and went, oh, yeah. Lord, I'm so sorry. And friends, I'm going to tell you here. I'm going to tell those watching on the internet that if you have been neglecting the Lord, He's not mad at you. We're not upset with you. We simply want to see you back in the Lord's sanctuary. Amen? So first we saw the neglect. I also wonder about necessity. Look again at verse 10 of chapter 5. I'm going to read that one more time. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in twilight on the plains of Jericho. The necessity. Why was it necessary for them to do this? Well, it's very simple. Over in Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, you can write this in your margin. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, we read these words. So this day shall be to you a memorial. That ring a bell from Joshua? Memorial stones? The Lord talking about the Passover in Exodus 12, 14. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast, as an everlasting ordinance. We are not to drift away from keeping these things as an everlasting ordinance to our Lord. And so the reason it's necessary is because God commanded it. And listen, if God commands something, it's necessary. It is necessary. See, verse 10 is one of those reading between the lines moments. Question: how did they know that God commanded it? How did they know that God commanded this thing? How did the people know about the Passover? They hadn't done it in a generation and a half in the desert. You have your Bibles open? Flip ahead to chapter 11, verse 15. Flip ahead, chapter 11, verse 15. When you get there, somebody with a paper Bible, please say, Amen. This is one of the great verses in the Bible. It gets all over me every time I read it. As the Lord had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. Speaking of Joshua, it says, he left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Isn't that good? Joshua left nothing undone of the things that the Lord commanded Moses. Listen, what has the Lord commanded us to do? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Larry, you say that every week. That's right. And I'm going to keep saying it every single week. Otherwise, we can become like the children of Israel and drift away in our wilderness travels with a parking lot downstairs and our church upstairs. We can drift away from what the core message is. How do we get our new location? First off, is Living Hope Church being faithful in their giving to the new location fund? Absolutely. You absolutely are. As a matter of fact, when we do our new location fund, we have funds for that, and our tithes and offerings do not go down. And that's a good indication that people have caught the vision for what God is doing. In other words, they're not saying, okay, I'll give to the new location fund this week, $50, but this one over here is going to be $50 less. See, you guys are such a blessing to your pastor. The tithes never goes down. The new location fund goes up. And that is a wonderful, amazing thing. But we need to remember what our job is. Amen? Now listen, through Moses, God had specifically and specially commanded Israel to commit to observe this ordinance when they got into Canaan. They've been commanded to do this. What God commands is necessary. Why else is it necessary? Well, next is the character of man. The character of man. We tend to forget our spiritual blessings. You see, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless your life. God wants to bless the things that you do, if you do them in the name of Jesus. You see, we are people of flawed characters. We got issues. Look at the person to your left or right and say, you got issues. Wives, don't point. You got issues. Mario, you just pointed at anybody. We are people of flawed characters. And keeping the Passover would help Israel to remember what God had done for them. Amen? It was also necessary. It was also a necessity for the communication of truth. Do you remember what the memorial stones were all about that we spoke about? What was their purpose? If you look at chapter 4 and verse 7 in Joshua, if you're there, please say amen. Then you shall answer them. People were asking, why should we do this? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over to Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial for the children of Israel forever. Forever, friends. Now look at what Moses wrote in Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. It should be on the screen. And it shall be, when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service that you shall say? It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Why do we do these things? In remembrance of Him. Friends, keeping the Passover was an opportunity for spiritual instruction. It was an opportunity for spiritual remembrance, to remember what the Lord had done. Now, what was another reason? What was another necessity for this? Well, it was necessary because of the calendar of Egypt. You see, verse 10 reads, back over in chapter 5, verse 10 reads, on what day of the month was that supposed to be done? The 14th day of the month. You see, Passover was on the Lord's calendar, the 14th day of the month of Nisan. May I ask, when do Christians normally gather? The first day of the week. From the beginning, Christ rose from the grave on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. And so we, from the beginning, as Christians, have worshipped on the first day of the week. You can find that in the book of Acts. In other words, we meet on the day that Christ rose from the dead, Resurrection Day, because it is on God's calendar. It's on God's calendar. We meet each week. They did the Passover once a year on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. Here's your nugget for today. What day was Christ crucified? He was crucified on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. You're going, wait a minute, Pastor Larry, wait a minute. They had the Passover meal the night before and the Lord's Supper. Yeah, but you have to understand that the Jewish day started at 6 p.m. and went through 6 p.m. of the next day. So Passover had started at 6 p.m. Sometimes after that in the evening, Jesus Christ and the disciples had the Passover meal through the course of that night or the other events. Jesus was arrested, went through 7 trials, and about 9 o'clock the next morning, still on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, Christ went from celebrating the Passover lamb to being the Passover lamb, fulfilling Scripture. Isn't that good? Isn't that good to know? When somebody says, we celebrate the Passover, so do we. Why? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What else about this Passover do we see in Joshua chapter 5? We've seen the neglect. We've seen the necessity for it. And now we come to the third point, the neighborhood. Look at verse 10, the last little part. It says, on the plains of Jericho. Do you see that right there? Remember that Jericho is about 7 miles from the River Jordan where they crossed. Gilgal is about a mile and a half, which they were camped beginning from Gilgal going back to the River Jordan. There's a great open plain there. There was roughly 2.5 million people camped there. In other words, The Canaanites and Amorites in Jericho were looking down upon the people of God from their fortress and camped at Gilgal. They kept the Passover on the plains of Jericho. You see, observing the Passover was a profession of faith for them right there. And they did this right in the land of the ungodly. They celebrated the Lord's provision right in the midst of the evil of their time. That's what we are here for, friends. This is an evil and lost world. And God has sent you as His ambassadors. God has sent you as soldiers in the army of the Lord into the enemy's camp to share the gospel message. And that's what we are here for. Don't miss this. These Israelites at this point have now come to the point where they are not intimidated and they are not ashamed to profess their faith no matter who was watching. No matter who was watching. The Amorites and the Canaanites looking on from the walls of Jericho. What is my point? Well, we have a lot of Christians these days that have a great talk in church on Sunday, but they're secret agents the rest of the week. They're secret agents. They're out in hiding, never sharing their faith in public. I promise you this. If you pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone today, as simply as I'm able to transmit that message, God will give you an opportunity. He will do it. Trust Him. Call upon Him. Call upon His strength. Amen? And just as Israel professed their faith before the Canaanites, we must profess our faith before a fallen world. Don't be one of those Christians. Don't be one of those guys. Amen? Be a soldier of Christ, sanctified, consecrated, and set apart for the Lord's work. Now we're going to shift scenes here a little bit in these last two passages, these last two verses. Because we've seen the neglect, we've seen the necessity for the Passover. We've seen the neighborhood where they're doing it, right in the middle of all the evil you could imagine. Now we come to the nourishment. I'm terribly sorry about that, but I needed another N. Reading verses 11 and 12, if you're there, please say amen. Amen. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. They ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Wait a minute. This is another one between the lines. What just happened? What just happened in this scene? You see, we see two important events. First, we see the stopping of the old supply. We see the stopping of the old supply of what the Lord had provided. In verse 12, we saw that the manna did what? The manna ceased. There is no longer any manna that they had grown to hate. They had eaten manna every way you could imagine. Not to go all Forrest Gump on you, but they'd had boiled manna, barbecued manna, baked manna, poached manna, raw manna, sun-dried manna, 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 manna. They even cried out and said, this is loathsome to us. And frankly, for 39 years, morning, noon, and night, I'm certain even my wife, Miss Ruth Ann, would have run out of ways to fix manna. Okay? I get it. The manna has ceased. You see, when Israel was in the wilderness, there were no food supplies. Therefore, God worked a miracle for His people and provided manna. Manna, which means, what is this? I'm sure as the wives tried to fix manna different ways, there was more than once that the men of the household would go, what is this? What have you done with the manna today? Miss Marie, what have you done with the manna? Miss Ruth Ann, what have you done with this manna? I don't want to eat it mixed with dirt. Well, I was trying to give you some fiber. No, we don't want that anymore. God worked a manna. Listen to me. Don't miss this. Are you listening? Everybody look up here. God provides what you need. He does not always provide what you want. He will provide what you need. Hallelujah. Give God praise. But now they're in Canaan. Now they're in the promised land, and there's no longer any need for manna. They're in the land flowing with milk and honey. There's no longer any need. What's the point? Watch the lesson. Friends, God's people should never, never, never expect extraordinary supply when they're available in very ordinary ways. I'm praying that the Lord will supply a great meal. Did you work this week? What does the Bible say? If he does not work, let them not eat. Now, but don't send me emails and letters, guys. If you're sick, if you're incapacitated, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you're able to work and simply won't, let them not eat. Now, I know, you know, we all have these nice slender figures. You know, one of the things that makes Miss Ruth Ann crazy is, you ever watch some of these shows where people have these eating disorders? And those are terrible things. That's a terrible thing these folks are shackled to. It is terrible. But someone's bringing them that food. Someone is enabling that. And friends, if you have someone in your family that will not work and expects to mooch off you, you need to tell them in Christian love, hey, you got to get a job, brother. You got to do that. Saying, boy, I'm seeing the side of Pastor Larry I've never seen before. Well, that's just the way it is. Thus saith the Lord. Amen? Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Don't expect extraordinary supplies when they're available in ordinary ways. In other words, stop looking for miracles and use what God has put right in front of you. And what the Lord has put right in front of me, apparently now Miss Ruth Ann thinks we need to grow our own cucumbers and tomatoes. So I look forward to many salads in the days ahead. So we saw the stopping of the old supply. Don't get me on that, Miss Ruth Ann. Now we see the starting of the new supply. Look at verse 11. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. That day they started eating. See, Canaan was promised to be a land flowing with milk and honey, but here they're getting a little taste of what they're going to be having. Now, let me ask a quick question between the lines. Where did the bounty come from to feed 2 million people? Where did that come from? Well, here's some fun. Here's one of these fun facts. The people of Canaan, the Canaanites and the Amalekites and Amorites, had obviously fled from their fields and their homes, and they'd run into the city of Jericho. They were behind their walls looking down on the plain. Therefore, their fields, their storehouses, and their grain was all available to the children of Israel. Now, before you start thinking of God's people as a bunch of thieves that went through the town, remember the 8th commandment says, thou shalt not steal. But what had God told them in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 and 3? Flip over to chapter 1 again real quick. We have time. If you're there, say amen. If you dare, say amen. Amen. If you put your Bible away, say, I'm sorry. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, says the Lord. The Lord gave this to them. The Canaanites' loss was God's judgment against them and God's provision for His people. It was God's judgment against the wicked and God's provision for His people. I have seen that happen in my life, where out of nowhere God provided. You see, the Israelites' gain was not criminal, but it was at the command of God. And before you guys get all happy smiley about this, this does not give us license to take from the wicked of the world, but shows that God can supply His people however He chooses. However God chooses to do this. Today you may be at the point where you feel like you've been wandering in the desert. Amen? You see, you need to set yourself apart for the work of the Lord. Perhaps you're thinking, Lord, can you really use someone like me? Lord, do you care? Lord, do I even matter to you? Friends, the answer is yes. And the reason we know that the answer is yes is because of the cross of Calvary. Amen. God sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross because He cares. Therefore, if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, then yes, your sins will be forgiven. Yes, your name is written in heaven. And yes, God can use you. Set yourself apart to the work of the Lord. Somehow, though, we still wonder, am I worthy of God's help? Am I worthy of God's help? Why would God help me? And answer to that is found on the cross. Picture the scene at Golgotha with the three crosses up there. look to a particular cross at Calvary. No, not the cross in the middle. That cross has the Son of God. That cross has the Passover lamb upon it. But look to the cross of the thief on one side. That thief asks for and receives grace from the Son of God. That thief did that. He receives grace from Jesus Christ, even as the Savior Himself hung in agony between two criminals. I ask myself, reading between lines, a thief worthy of death receives compassion from God, who says we are to keep the laws? Let me ask you this. How did that happen? How is it possible for that to happen? We may have each asked ourselves, what has that thief done to deserve any help? He is, after all, a criminal worthy of death. Lord, what have I done to deserve any help? Somehow he asked the Lord to remember him. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Think of it this way, friends. That's us on that same cross, in the same helpless condition of our lives, guilty of sin, guilty of the crime. And in our sinful condition, we hang naked, we hang hopeless before the Lord's judgment. What can we possibly do as we hang there? Where can we turn but to the cross? Amen? Where can we turn but to the Lord Jesus Christ? All we can say is turn to the Lord and say, Lord, remember me. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came from heaven to earth to die on the cross for my sins. I receive you as Lord. I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, remember me. And just like the cross, when we cry out for salvation, we hear the voice of grace. This day, or someday, I will see you in paradise. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I end this message as I end each and every message. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now as our praise comes to
thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.